In the name of Jesus. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. We do know that today is the Sunday of the fulfillment. That's by prior arrangement. It's the last Sunday of the church's calendar. Next Sunday begins a new year in the preparation for Christmas and Advent. It is the Omega of all things, the last day when Jesus comes as King and Judge, suddenly and without warning, like a thief in the night, with the shout of God, the archangel's trumpet, like a groom arriving for his own wedding at the hour of midnight. Hear the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. I'm so glad that Jesus, as he told this parable, had them all as 10 virgins. It gets morality out of the picture. They were all good girls, so to speak. They took their little oil lamps and they went out to meet the groom. This was in a more enlightened age when weddings, the focus of a wedding was the groom, not the bride. Five of the bridesmaids, though good girls, were foolish, and five of them were wise. In the language of the scriptures, to be wise is to be faithful, that is, full of faith, trusting, believing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, says the Proverbs. To be foolish is to be faithless, without faith, unbelieving. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The foolish girls took their oil lamps, but no extra oil. The wise took jars of extra oil along with their lamps. Now, in your eyes, which of them appears to be more foolish? The girls with the extra oil, of course. The foolish, well, they look downright confident, sophisticated, with their cute little wedding lamps nestled in their perfectly manicured fingers. They are confident, carefree, not worried at all about the wedding, barely even thinking about it. They go about their lives as though this wedding were just another item on their very busy to-do list. Go to the mall, get your hair done, go to a movie. Oh yeah, go to the wedding, no problem. The wise look so foolish, if not unfashionable, lugging around mason jars full of olive oil. Silly girls, it doesn't even go with their shoes. What kind of bridesmaids go around with jars of oil in their left hands? What were they thinking? They act as if this wedding were the only thing in their lives. Oh, these girls are in need of a life. They have nothing else to look forward to but the coming of the bridegroom and his wedding. They kind of look like silly little Linus in the old Peanuts cartoon from the 60s, sitting in the dirt waiting for the great pumpkin to appear in his pumpkin patch. Oh, how foolish the church looks. How foolish we baptized believers appear, watching and waiting for Jesus to come. How foolish for you to get up on a Sunday morning to hear God's word preached to you, when you could just as easily read it for yourselves from your own Bibles at some convenient hour. How foolish to hear the forgiveness of your sins spoken to you by a fellow sinner when you already know that you're forgiven. How foolish to eat a little bit of bread and think that that is the body of Christ, or to drink a sip of wine, which isn't even terribly good wine, and believe that it is Jesus' blood, your Savior, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. How foolish it seems to pray and praise and give thanks when there are surely more important things to do on that one precious day off out of the week. How foolish to give offerings to God, your first fruits of your income, when there are so many other things to spend your money on. Rising gas prices, rising costs of living and housing. How foolish of the church to be more focused on the new creation than in solving the problems of the old creation. How unfashionable to speak of sin and sacrifice, cross and atoning blood, forgiveness, when the world wants to be purpose-driven and goal-oriented and successful. How silly of the church to preach Christ crucified for the sins of the world, knowing full well that the world clamors for miracles and for celebrity and for entertainment. Theology of the cross? Come on, that's as unfashionably silly and out of place in the world of religion as a mason jar full of olive oil. It's a bridesmaid wearing tennis shoes to the wedding. Christians are the village idiots of religion. The rest of the religious world thinks we're nuts for believing that we are justified before God entirely because of his undeserved kindness to us, all because of Jesus' life and death, and not because of anything we do. That is crazy to the world of religion. Everybody knows you have to earn your own way. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Atone for your own sins. Pursue your own self-chosen path to enlightenment. Everybody knows that, and that's why they think we are nuts. We are a ship of fools. We come to church not to be motivated, not to be entertained, not to be uplifted, not to be challenged, not to be purpose-driven, but to be forgiven. We die in order to live. We mock death in view of our own resurrection to eternal life. We say fie on self-esteem, and we esteem Christ and one another rather than ourselves. We're like a bunch of people throwing a pool party in the middle of winter while everybody else is shivering and cold. And we say, but summer is near, may as well get a head start on it. And the world looks on and it says, okay. And then it hurries off to the other side of the street, like you do when you see a crazy person on one side of the street and you just hurry up and go to the other side. We bury our dead in the hope and the confidence of the resurrection of the body. We dare to come into the presence of God, not boasting about all the wonderful things we've done for God and how he should just be so tickled blue in heaven that we're here, but we come confessing our sins in the presence of God, admitting that we are a bunch of screw-ups who never get anything right. And the world looks and listens and it shakes its head. How foolish we look, sitting in our pumpkin patch waiting for our great pumpkin to appear. But in the end, when the midnight wake-up call comes, those who appeared foolish suddenly are very wise, while those who appeared so wise and sophisticated wind up looking terribly foolish, running around in the middle of the night in a panic, looking for somebody to sell them oil, finding a closed door to a party to which they have been invited, and hearing that terrible judgment, "I don't know you," from the one who invited them to the party in the first place. In their foolish unbelief, the bridegroom no longer recognizes the bridesmaids. The folly of the foolish is in their figuring. They figured they knew the hour when the groom would make his appearance. No groom comes at midnight. That's ridiculous. They figured that they had enough oil to last well into the evening. What they hadn't figured on was that the groom would be stuck in traffic, that he would be delayed, that they would fall asleep, all of them, and that the groom would show up at midnight. Who on earth starts a wedding party at midnight? They hadn't figured that he would show up so quickly and so unexpectedly that there was no second chance. No opportunity to strike a last-minute deal. No oil merchant to sell them oil. Only a closed door and an exclusion. Foolish. You do not know the day or the hour. That's Jesus' last word on the timing of the last day. It puts off all of our calculations and our speculations. We're simply not given to know the day or the hour. You remember all the craziness around the year 2000? We even had a New Year's Eve service. I don't do New Year's Eve services, but we had one because everybody was being crazy. It was a sleeper. Nothing happened. Nothing interesting. This year was more interesting than the year 2000 ever was. Every attempt to predict the day and the hour has resulted in embarrassment and futility and frustration to those who have predicted it. There have been books written predicting the end of the world. All they're good for is birdcage lining these days. Nobody knows the day or the hour. That's why in our bulletin we just cover our bases and we say, should it be the Lord's will? There's our calendar for the week. Should it be the Lord's will? If he decides to show up on Wednesday, well, Thanksgiving Eve service is down the tubes, but then who cares? Got eternal Thanksgiving. And a feast that's much better than Thursday's feast, too. Delay can bring a false sense of security. Jesus didn't come yesterday, probably won't come today, probably won't come tomorrow either. So there's always time, right? Wrong. Foolish. God's way of time is not our way of time. God deals in kairos, in moments in which all time is packed into an instant. We deal in kairos, chronology, the days, the months, the years. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day with the Lord. He's not slow in coming, Peter says. He's patient and he's merciful. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He has saved all in Jesus' death. But let no one ever say there's always more time. You do not know the day or the hour. That came home very, very powerfully this week. Most of you aren't aware of it, but I spent most of Friday in the hospital. Not me, somebody else. Grandmother of one of our preschool children. Her name was Carrie. She was in perfectly good health, hung around here every day, helping out, teacher's assistant, 54 years old. Had dinner on Thursday night with her husband, went to bed early, feeling a little tired, picked up a book to read, dropped the book, fell out of bed, cerebral aneurysm, brain dead. You do not know the day or the hour. The stray bullet, the broken blood vessel, the stray automobile, you do not know the day or the hour. I don't intend to scare you. I intend to wake you up. This is not the time to sleep. Jesus wants his church on the alert. He wants his church wide awake, watchful, ready for the cry at any hour, at any moment, day or night. God is rich in his mercy. The forgiveness and the life that Jesus hung on the cross to win for the world, he gives out freely to the world. Not just one way, many ways. In baptism, in the spoken forgiveness of our sins, in the Lord's Supper, his body and blood, in the word that is preached and read and heard. There is more forgiveness and life and salvation than you and I could ever imagine. More Jesus in the Word and the Sacrament than we think we need. Enough forgiveness and life to keep our lamps burning now and through the last day and on to eternal life. And only an unbelieving fool, a spiritual idiot, would say, "That's enough Jesus for me. I don't need any more. There's always tomorrow." That is foolish. Damned foolish, if you'll pardon the literal expression. Refusal of the gifts of Christ is literally damnably foolish. The wise knew in whom they hoped and for whom they waited. They lived and they slept in the confidence of their bridegroom's coming. Whether they were awake or asleep did not matter. They were ready for his appearing. They knew he was coming, they just didn't know when. You know for whom you wait, and he knows you. He has made himself known to you in your baptism. He is the one who died on a cross to save you, who rose from the grave to give you life, who sits enthroned in majesty to glorify your humanity in him. He is the one who baptized you, who forgives you, who feeds you his body and blood, who anoints you with his Spirit. You have more oil than you possibly could burn in a lifetime in Jesus. To live as the wise in faith is to live in the hope and the expectation of his coming day, whether that day is today, tomorrow, the next day, next year. You can live and sleep and die in the confidence of him who once came for you by the crib and by the cross, who comes to you now by word and supper, who will come to you on the last day to raise you from the grave and give you eternal life together with all who trust in him. The last day is also a new day. It's the true Sabbath day. The day that embraces every day from the Alpha beginning to the Omega ending. A day with neither evening or morning. A day of endless rest in which all creation rests in the light of Jesus Christ. Behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. Behold, I make all things new. Sin and death are gone. They are no more in Christ. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. That day, my friends, is coming soon, very, very soon. Christ is coming soon, and when he comes quickly and without warning. But you do not need a warning. You know. You know. Such faith may seem foolish at the moment. Foolish to the world and maybe even to you, foolish at times, like little Linus sitting in his pumpkin patch, waiting for the great pumpkin to appear one day. But in the end, when Christ, who is the wisdom of God and the power of God, appears in the flesh and makes his appearance in glory, faith will be proven wise. In the name of Jesus.